From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we've been following this week. The Cook County Board has offered the position of County Administrator to Jay Kieft, currently Executive Director of Wright County Human Services in Buffalo, Minnesota. Kieft previously was head of Human Services in Candiohi County from 2007 to 2012. The board has authorized its consultant, David Unmark, to negotiate the contract with respect to health insurance, salary, and contract length, as well as other details. According to Auditor-Treasurer Brady Powers, Kieft heads a department of 200 people, and the county expects him to assume his position here within 2 months. One out of five calls from the public for help with Minnesota's new online health insurance marketplace is coming from the 218 area code. The sprawling but relatively sparsely populated region, which includes Duluth and all of northern Minnesota, is producing more calls than any other area code in the state. That according to MinSure Executive Director April Todd Malmloff. The second highest percentage of calls came from both the 612 and 651 area codes in the metro area at 16% each, and the lowest was from the 320 area code in central Minnesota at 9%. Todd Malmloff suggested at least part of the reason the plurality of calls come from the 218 numbers is that this is where the need is greatest. She said there are definitely parts of that area code that do have the highest levels of uninsurance in the state. Northeastern Minnesota has an uninsurance rate of 11% compared with 9% statewide. That according to Jenny Peterson, she's executive director of Generations Healthcare Initiatives, a nonprofit created to improve access to healthcare in the region. The region also has a higher percentage of low-income residents than the state as a whole. MinSure was set up to help uninsured and underinsured Minnesotans find health care plans as part of the Affordable Care Act. The enrollment period for plans acquired through MinSure began October 1st and continues through March 31st, although sign-up must be completed by December 15th for coverage to begin the first of the year. Minnesota officials say they'll review an offer from the Obama administration to let states use their own money to reopen national parks that have been closed by the federal government shutdown. A spokesman for Governor Mark Dayton says the administration will review what it would cost and how much revenue it would bring in, and then make a decision based on that assessment. Minnesota has one national park, Voyageurs National Park, on the Canadian border. The National Park Service also runs the Mississippi and St. Croix National Scenic River areas in Minnesota. Governors in at least four western states have asked for authority to reopen national parks within their borders because of the economic impacts caused by the park closures. On the other hand, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is shying away from the federal government's offer. Wisconsin has two national parks, the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore and the St. Croix National Scenic Riverway. Applications for Minnesota's wolf hunting and trapping licenses dropped by almost half this year, according to Dan Stark, large carnivore specialist for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. The Duluth News Tribune reports that last year, the inaugural year of Minnesota's formal wolf hunt, about 23,500 hunters and trappers applied for licenses. This year, that number dropped to about 13,000. Stark said several factors might have contributed to that. He said there are fewer licenses available this year, and last year was the first season ever. There was some novelty there, and probably there's the realization that there's low success rate for wolf hunters and trappers. Last year's success rate was 7% for those who hunted wolves during the firearms deer season, 4% for late-season hunters, 30% for trappers. A total of 3,300 licenses were available this year, down from 6,000 last year. The overall target harvest this fall is 220 wolves, down from the target harvest of 400 last year. The DNR lowered the target harvest in response to the latest wolf population estimate of 2,211 wolves, down about 25% from the most recent previous estimate in 2008. Last year, hunters and trappers took a total of 413 wolves during the state's first wolf season. The group that found a sunken freighter near Marquette, Michigan this spring has found a second one in Lake Superior. The Duluth News Tribune reports the shipwreck hunters confirmed the location of Scotia Dock last month. It's in more than 850 feet of water near Thunder Bay, Ontario, possibly making it the deepest shipwreck ever found in the Great Lakes. The 424-foot ship sank after colliding with another freighter in 1953, killing one person. Jerry Eliason of Cloquet is part of the group that has found many lost ships, including the long-sought-after wreck of the Henry B. Smith offshore Michigan in May. He says finding the Smith was the entree, finding the Scotia dock was the dessert. Researchers at St. Cloud State University say they have reason to believe that a site in the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness was home to a settlement as long as 16,400 years ago, which would make the habitation the oldest in Minnesota. They base it on testing of soil samples collected around Knife Lake along the U.S.-Canada border. The St. Cloud Times reported Monday that anthropologists want to do more testing before drawing firm conclusions. Associate Professor Mark Munoz says it would fit with a theory that people lived along the edge of glaciers as they receded. It challenges previous beliefs that glacier-caused flooding in northern Minnesota caused the earliest humans to inhabit the South. The excavation sites are believed to be where people quarried siltstone for tool making. There was a big turnout at the county board meeting to hear the MnDOT district engineer talk about the Highway 61 rumble strip controversy. A crowd of about 50 people packed the Cook County Commissioner's room Tuesday morning to hear MnDOT District 1 engineer respond to their concerns regarding rumble strips along Highway 61 east of Grand Marais. The Cook County Commissioners also expressed their complaints about the strips. Commissioner Jan Hall.
You know, not only does the spray of the water from the grooves in there, but debris. My front window going home just is, you know, rock after rock being thrown at my car. And if it, you know, if you get hit hard enough and you try to compensate for that, I feel that they could be more dangerous than helpful. So I think we need to consider that also.
Objections registered by residents along the highway focused on the loud and annoying sound produced by vehicles crossing the centerline strip they described as a penetrating, ripping noise audible for more than a mile inland. Other complaints included hazards to cyclists and walkers, spray thrown up at oncoming traffic when rainwater collects in strip depressions, and many more. Dwayne Hill, MnDOT District 1 engineer, assured the group that the rumble strip issue in Cook County and elsewhere in the state has the attention of MnDOT at all levels. He noted that the installation of the strips is in accordance with a statewide policy adopted as part of the Towards Zero Deaths Highway Safety Program. He also described an ongoing research effort to develop a rumble strip which would alert a driver without the loud sounds.
The research says if we implement rumble strips on all of our highways, we'll have up to a 70% improvement in these run-off-the-road accidents, up to 70% if you have both edge-line and center-line rumble strips. And I already told you the statistics statewide about how those crashes occur. So that was the driving force behind implementing this policy at MnDOT. So hopefully we can come up with a design that doesn't have a sound, but still alerts the driver. I mean, that would be the ideal engineering outcome to this problem.
Hill detailed a fast-track approach to mitigate the sound problem in the short term. Jim Miles, an engineer accompanying Hill at the meeting, will be conducting sound measurements over the next 2 weeks between Grand Marais and Hovland. Based on the results, modifications will be applied to existing strips with the goal of reducing the sound to a tolerable level. Hill also described a process for concerned residents to be kept informed by email and seeking feedback to be provided to MnDOT on the success of the mitigation effort.
What I would ask you to do is to let me know if it makes a difference, because that's the key critical thing from our perspective is we want to try to do something that lessens the impact of quality of life on you.
When pressed for a time frame on the work, Hill made reference to the approaching deer season as a target, but spoke of the difficulties involved in contracting this late in the year and on short notice. You've been listening to the North Shore Weekend News Wrap-Up. To hear more from the WTIP News team and to check out the full versions of our stories, visit us at WTIP.org. For North Shore Community Radio, I'm Jay Anderson, wishing you a great weekend.